to the Community Services and Development Committee. Does anybody have a change to the agenda?
Chair, I do. I'd like to add an item that I forgot to put on here of selection of vice chair.
Perfect. That sounds good. Could we do that right here at the beginning?
Sure, that'd be great.
Perfect. Okay, well, the grave decision is before you. So I would like to ask you guys to pick or volunteer one of yourselves to be the vice chair.
I'm pulling for Karen.
Thank you so much. Okay, sure, that's fine.
Okay, good job. Thanks for taking care of that. Any comments or changes to the minutes that we have from the 1st and the 7th?
Yeah, so I do have one comment so the committee's aware. Since this is now a combined committee, this first time around, you guys get to approve both the previous minutes for both committees.
Okay.
Even though you may not have been there for those.
I think I was.
So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just want to point that out there for both.
Perfect.
Okay, they look fine to me.
Good. Yeah, I thought they were fine as well. Okay, good. So, do we have any public comment for items not listed on the agenda this evening?
Sandy is the only public we have tonight.
Yeah. Okay.
Nobody is online.
Good. Okay.
Combine the committees and we still can't draw a crowd.
We still can't get anybody.
I'll be fine. Alrighty, well, I'm going to go ahead and declare a conflict of interest for the next three items, and I'll go ahead and recluse myself for all of those. I'm declaring a conflict of interest because all of those great events make money to the business interests I have in town. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over to our vice chair to direct the rest of to those three items, and I will get out of here.
Okay, okay.
See you in a bit.
I probably should declare a conflict as well with the Scandifest since my wife has a booth. Not the run. We're not going to be running in that, I'll tell you that right now. But she does have a booth.
Is the I don't think the Scandifest is on tonight, just the run.
It's just the run. So I don't know that's...
The Scandi runs separate from the festival itself, so that's not tied.
Okay, great.
And then the function is a function.
All right.
So you should be good.
We're good then.
Actually, I think you've already done Scandi Fest for the year, haven't you?
I think so. We did it, didn't we? Yeah.
Yeah, it just said Sandy Fest run, and I didn't know if they were part and parcel. So.
Nope, two totally separate.
Okay, so go. Okay. Scandi Run street closure request.
Are you here for those, or am I taking these?
I can do it.
I can do it, too. I just wasn't sure.
I thought I'd be sitting with Sandy.
So, I got it. So, talking with Director Capping, he had given these to me and he wanted me to make sure the committee knew that from a staff standpoint, we don't have an issue and it's the same as last year. There are no changes.
Okay.
Great. That's the extent of my knowledge.
Okay. Do you have any questions, Ken?
No, it's not our first rodeo with this. So.
Okay. I have no questions.
No changes in route or anything.
Okay. So, sent.
I said the same as last year.
A little more precise.
Okay. Take even you can do the next one.
Okay, so that? This will go to council then, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And the next one is for the 2023 function for Junction. And that would be Jeremy.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Since that way we'll be more precise.
Okay.
Okay. For the committee this evening is the 2023.
Yes.
And it's the Community Services and Development Committee, not the Community Development Committee. On top.
Yep.
We're going to be precise.
The 2023 function for Junction. Again, there is no major changes to the application or the route itself. Everything's the same as it has been for
long time.
Quite a few years since they've changed the route. Corey Lucas, Mr. Lucas submitted the proper forms to Kitty and Gary. And Public Works has no comments, and neither does the fire chief doesn't have any issues with it. No major changes.
Okay. Do you have anything, Ken?
I do not.
I do not. So she can go. Okay. The next item, Function for Junction swap meet street closure request.
Okay. I don't see any errors on this one, so. This is for the 2023 Function for Junction swap meet. This will be held, this is the same as probably the third, fourth year of this location, something like that. And same thing, it's pretty cut and dry. Mm-hmm. Public Works has no issues with the street closures. It's actually more in a alley section, so off the beaten path. It's a great event for the community, and Public Works has no issues with it at all.
That's great.
Okay. Ken, you got anything?
No.
Nope, either do I. So, away she goes.
Wrapped on.
I know.
Well, you know what? Next year you can do it. Okay, chief.
Thank you, Councilor Leach.
You betcha.
That's a boomerang. It'll come back to haunt you.
Moving on to item number 8 here, the development departmental budget review.
So, before the committee tonight is the budget for community service. Just a couple of high-level things for folks before we dive into it. You'll see the activity for 2020 and 2021, as well as the 21-22 fiscal years that shows. You'll see a lot of zeros in there. That's due to software conversion. Because all that, the most of the data for those two fiscal years is still in the Springbrook system, not in our new Tyler system.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that they survived on $0, it's just we didn't spend the extra to convert all the data. We still can pull it from Springbrook. The other thing is this is the first very, very rough look at this. For community services, it's a little bit different than the other departments because community services gets the 22% of the property taxes and general revenue. However, that's not split out by each individual department within community services. That 22% is for community services as a whole, parks, pool, library, community center, senior center. So at this first draft, Mike and I didn't spend time figuring out where the allocation goes. So fund balances, they will change when you review it, when we get to look at it by next month. Mostly what we were trying to focus on was the personnel costs and the materials and services costs. Even then, there's still going to be some changes because I noticed an error today that the administrative charges citywide was $100,000 more than it should have been. Or some of the joys of trying to figure out the new software on the fly has been a little tricky, but we're getting there. So there's still going to be more changes. So I wouldn't focus on the fund balance as much this year, right? Or right now, not this one. By the next meeting, things will be smoothed out and we'll be fine. But it's just the first one we wanted to get the M&S and that kind of stuff to everybody for that first one. So kind of starting with that, unless there's general questions, I'll just kind of jump in and we'll just kind of highlight what we've got in each department. And in each department, if you've got questions, please make sure to ask. I'm more than happy to answer questions. I'm not going to dive into it too deep. So starting with pool, we're looking to continue the same as what we did last year. Some of our goals this year is maybe to add some more hours. We had some hit and miss last year with some of the scheduling stuff, so we didn't have quite as many hours as we had liked. But we went a little longer in the year. And that's all due to staffing and how many folks can we get who want to be a lifeguard. You know, we've had to significantly increase what we pay lifeguards to compete with the other summertime jobs locally, because everybody else around here is now 14, 15 bucks an hour, so we had to jump up to keep pace with that, and, you know, so it's a lot more than what it had been in the past. But other than that, we're not looking at any significant changes as far as the rate from last year. You'll notice it's, you know, we're within 4,000 on the direct wages compared to last year, so it's pretty much just your normal. As far as the M&S, not a whole lot's changed here. We did bump up for pretty significantly for electricity, natural gas, because those are two that we, you know, seen a bit of an increase over the year for cost for that. There's also some hopes we may need to, we're discussing with the swim team about coming back in the winter months, so we want to, if that does happen, we want to make sure we have enough in our M&S to keep things warm in the winter when we would use it. Again, nothing major on the M&S there. Chemicals went up by 3,000, you'll see that. Electricity went up by about 3,500. Natural gas by about 4,200. Yeah, those are probably the big ones. Changes. Questions and polls? Okay, we'll bounce over to the library. So, a couple of things with the library fund. The M&S numbers may change in the interim, but the overall total more than likely won't. I have added 10 more hours for the, we have a 10-hour a week helper there now. Michelle has convinced me that we need another 10 hours for Sophia's time to give her 20 a week. So I've added that in here on the wages side, and not a whole lot else. I'm meeting with Michelle next week to, she would like to see some numbers shifted within M&S, but I don't anticipate an overall increase, but she wants certain lines to read a certain way, so we're just trying to make our schedules mesh where I can get that from her. Again, nothing huge. So in there, yeah, we're, yeah, pretty much level throughout. I mean, we don't have any huge increases. You will see administrative charges did go up, but again, I told you we just caught an error today, so that should come down some. But we did, staff is proposing on the finance side adding another accountant position within the finance department to keep up with the work we've got going on there. So there's some of that reflected in the administrative charges as well. Yeah, just that Mike and I have gone back and forth the last couple of years. I'm arguing for it. He doesn't want to spend the money, but once you took a look at the workload and you realized, no, we need to do something, because for me, finances, it's not something we can slack off on.
No.
So.
Who did you say you're going back and forth with?
Mike.
Mike
likes to be cost conscious, I guess is the way, you know, and once you realize it wasn't a, yeah, you're doing bad, it's a, dude, you got way too much work. And yeah, so, you know, Liz does awesome, but there's just, you know, we've got we've taken up a large chunk of Emily's day dealing with accounts payable. And Emily's supposed to be HR, not finance.
Right. Yep.
So, and I need her time back, but to do that, I've got to kind of switch around and whatnot. So,
What's the reasoning for extra help at the library? If you can talk about that a little bit.
They have, so basically when we downsized, the pandemic hit us pretty quick. So our activity at the library shrank. Coming back out of it, programs are picking up much greater than they were before. So we just, there's just not enough hours in the day for Michelle to be able to get the other administrative work she needs to get done, plus all the programming increases. Mm-hmm. And she, originally we brought Sophia in at 10 hours to help with that, but the programming got way bigger than we anticipated. So now we're coming back to, well, that 10 hours got eaten up in helping with programming, mm-hmm. you know, like the summer reading program and all those other things that they do over there. Yeah. So we still need that 10 hours worth of administrative help during the week. Mm-hmm. So this is coming back and adding that in to get that piece mm-hmm. back.
I think it's unbelievable how many people use the library.
Yeah.
And the programs she has built up, unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so this is a good thing.
We're pretty easily just as high, if not more, than we've ever been in some of our programs.
Yeah, it's...
So I'd want to be able to keep that going, and an extra 10 hours a week is a small ask to help keep that.
Why do you think that's happening? Why are our program, is she better at being a librarian than we've had in the past? What's the thing driving that, do you think? Is it just we were all in the pandemic and now we're excited to see each other? Or is it going to die off? Is it an initial spike?
I don't see this. I think, how do I put this nicely? The previous librarian, and I don't mean... The previous, going back, not Frieda, but before Frieda.
Then.
I'm trying not to name names.
I'm sorry.
That's
sorry.
Okay. had a very set box of what she wanted to do, and that was it. And if it didn't fit in the box, it didn't exist. Michelle is more like the rest of us, like, we don't believe in boxes. It's what does the community need, how do we... She's more about getting out and meeting them on their turf versus always having to drag them to the library. Like, part of the reading program is held at Max Borders. We've never done that before. That's never been done. It has to be hugely popular.
Mm-hmm.
It's things like that. So she's getting a lot more effort to get out there and meeting folks at least halfway, if not more so, and which is awesome.
Yeah.
And there's some of that. Oh, great! Hey, the pandemic's over, and you got to keep in mind too, the school really doesn't have a library anymore.
That's right.
Their library really isn't a library, so we're the only resource.
Yep.
And we've just added some more computers, upgraded all of it. She's doing all the right moves to get out there and get and meet people out there halfway or more to push her program. She's very passionate about what she does.
I heard that you have new computers over there. Is that true?
Yep. We just replaced all 12 of them, 13 of them, something like that, yeah. It was time. There were old ones were 7 years old, and the software wasn't... It worked, but it wasn't what we needed to be able to more efficiently monitor what we're doing on the computers. Mm-hmm. One of my questions is, how many hours are they getting used? The software we had no way to tell.
Mm-hmm.
This new software gives us more of that insight, so we know, are they really being used, are they not? Lets us better track that.
And she really makes good use of her volunteers. She mm-hmm. really does. She's got a lot of volunteers that are devoted to that library, and she gets a lot of work done.
Yeah.
A lot of work done with them.
So, could you tell me why the software went from 2,000 down to zero? We're bouncing back.
Software and applications. So, as part of what we switched IT-wise, is it's all part of, when every department pays an administrative charge, it covers all of that.
Okay.
So, they don't have to budget it separate. It's just part of that admin charge.
Oh.
And we just, admin takes care of, because admin has internal services, we just take care of all of that.
You've lumped it all together under the administrative side of stuff.
Okay. And so they give their portion as part of their administrative charge they pay every year.
Hmm. Councillor Hancock, just in case it's not clear, I think this kind of committee should kind of just be like a work session. And so if you ever have any questions or comments, you don't need to ask me or direct a question towards me. I just want it to be an open forum.
Okay.
So if you have any comments, just shoot them out there. Jason and Jeremy can handle three of us.
All right, we'll see.
Pretty easy.
Okay, thank you. I don't have any more questions right now.
Okay, unless there's any more questions, I'll just keep trucking along. I may tag team a little bit with Jeremy on the parks a bit, because technically parks is supervised and maintained by Public Works from an administrative level. The maintenance side of it and community services does more of the operations programming side of it. So it's kind of a, I don't want to say a weird split, but it's a split. So it seems to work. So, again, we've got, how many in parks nowadays?
How many parks?
How many people?
Well, people in parks, three.
that including Shaman?
That's including Shaman, so.
So, yeah, we have three dedicated staff that takes care of parks and what we call open spaces. Open spaces are drainage ways, undeveloped grass fields, stuff like that that the city owns. So, why I bring that up is when you start looking at the wages, you look at the wages, there's no way that's three people.
Right.
It's split with streets, between parks and streets. They pick up that. We kind of modeled a little bit after what Eugene has done. That's how they do their parks in open spaces. And so we just kind of followed that concept. But again, like I said, we've got, if you look at it, that's really probably the most the city's had in a number of years.
Number of years, yes.
Because there's always been two since I came on board in 06. But back before that, there were a little more. And we had some part-timers, and it just kind of became a weird thing. So we just went to this new so we could have people more dedicated to taking care of those areas, making sure they look nice.
You just go back and will you just say that the system one more time? You have, I mean, how does that split with streets?
So
because this doesn't cover three full people.
Yep, yeah. Streets is responsible for anything storm drain related.
Okay.
So like all the drainage ways, this group takes care of those, keeping them mowed and cleaned and maintained. So that's why they pay part of their wages come out of streets, because of that.
So only 52 come out of parks.
And then the rest comes out of streets.
The rest, but it's the same three guys working on both of those areas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's modeled after Eugene's setup?
Yeah. It made the most sense just since those were the guys that were taking care of all that stuff anyway. It's like, we had some weird breakdowns before, and it's like, let's make this a little clean. Because what was happening is each department by itself couldn't afford what they needed.
Mm-hmm.
But together, they were able to get what they needed to get the job done by combining resources that way.
Oh.
So just trying to find a creative way to make the dollar go a little farther.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm never above plagiarizing when someone's got it figured out.
Yep, really.
I'm not going to reinvent the wheel.
I have one question,
sure.
Jason. On the fertilizer and treatment, it's the same, $2,500. Is that going to work, the way things have gone up so much, Jeremy?
Yes, it will work this year, yeah. I do think that might be something we'll have to look at next fiscal.
Okay.
But this year, I think that will be
okay. Okay. Good.
And you'll notice fuel, oil, and tires went up by $3,500 as well.
Yeah.
Parks has three rigs? Four rigs.
Three
rigs that they're responsible for, so.
Oh, no, you're right, four. Sorry, four.
I'm going to say that you got the dump bed, too. You'll see parks program. That's, again, that's more of an operational side. Eventually, we'd like to get to the doing the movies in the park.
I have plans for it.
Yes.
That's why I'm looking at him when I said that. So it's for those kinds of programs. It's not maintenance programs. It's operational programs. And keep it in there because I have hopes one day he'll get to it.
Yes, you will. We will.
We have nothing better to do. You know, everything else is calm. You can. Let's see. Just trying to see if there's any major. I didn't put this one together, Gary did.
Operationally, though, there was no major changes.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. The fuel, oil, tires was.
Mm-hmm.
And we will notice we dropped down the transfers to the capital project. Keep in mind, the last couple of years we had a higher fund balance and some one-time revenue. That's why parks transferred more to the community services projects. It's the second to last line on page 6. That's the transfer into their capital. $6,500 is more in line with what they should be annually is the minimum. But we just said they just had some extra, so we just, anytime we have a little extra in the fund balance, we always push it over to capital to save it for later. So, but I did want to flag that in case someone said, hey, why did that drop down so much? Because we don't have extra money this year. Questions on parts? Pretty straightforward. Okay, community center. So this is where we get a little, I don't want to say tricky, because that's the wrong word to use the budget. So we put, we had, so previously we had one FTE in senior center, one in the community center. As part of our shift where we're not assigning folks to a specific building, we have them in the community services, community center fund, both FTEs. I have reduced the senior center FTE down to 20 hours a week at this point, because since the previous gal left, Shelly's been more than able to cover it, but I want her to have that there in case it gets to the point where she can't. Mm-hmm. We can bring someone in at that point. That position is really intended to help cover with the centers more than anything else at this point. That's the trigger. But Shelly has been very clear, very adamant that she's got it handled.
Okay.
And the seniors haven't let me know otherwise, and I'm sure they would if they did.
I'm sure they would.
They're not bashful.
Yes.
They would let me know.
Yep.
So, and again, so we're just pretty much hold the line, kind of status quo, straightforward. Mm-hmm. No big changes, because the community center doesn't have a lot that it's responsible for as far as things that can fluctuate hardcore.
So with the direct wages going up a little bit like they are, how did you manage to bring the insurance benefits down?
So the 20 hours a week is below the threshold where we have to pay insurance. And previously with the other position we had to.
Mm-hmm.
So since it went from 30 down to 20, we no longer pay insurance benefits. So that's why overall it went up, but the insurance went down.
Yeah.
That rolls.
Okay. Interesting.
Questions, community services? Or community center, I'm sorry. Okay. So if I'm not hearing any, we'll move on to the Viking Sal. This one, please stop me if this doesn't make sense. So with the, when we take the wages out, the burden, and what I say by, when I say burden, what I mean by that is the city's charges to this program equal about $6,500 a year, because all we add is the administrative charges, building maintenance charges, and the IT service charges. Those are the three things other than labor that we add. Labor has been zeroed out. So when you look at that, their fund balance is huge, because we had those COVID years where we didn't have staff, but we still put, like we were paying staff, into this fund.
Yeah.
So what you're going to see going forward in this next iteration, we're going to pull back the property taxes and general revenue and use it with other places within community services, and let that $116,000 fund balance ride for a bit.
Right.
Because it's $6,500, it's gonna take a long time to pull that down.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so there's no, they've got plenty, and we just don't see any need to keep stoking that when we can put it to use in other community services departments.
Yep.
Again, pretty minimal, it's kind of an evolving landscape down there for us, just because they look much different post-COVID than they did pre-COVID. What we found is a number of the seniors that volunteered down there finally liked the idea of being retired completely, so they didn't want to come back. They were happy being fully retired. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. They've earned that more than once, I'm sure. But, so it's just, some of the numbers we're slowly pulling some of them down just because we're not sure. Because you look at a lot of the year-to-date activity, there's a lot of zeros, because they aren't doing what they used to, but we didn't want to zero it out just in case as they continue to move forward. We want to make sure they still have those options and opportunities that they need. So,
but there's just not people engaging with the senior center as much right now.
They're doing their lunches like twice a week now, I think, something like that.
Twice a week, Thursdays.
Whereas they were doing 5 days a week before.
Mm.
They started to get back more into a lot of some of the activity, senior trip activity stuff. Just didn't come back to that same level.
Sure.
It just hasn't seemed to be the interest.
Yeah.
So, But we keep making sure they have funds available in case someone does get a wild hair and decide they want to do whatever. Although I will say, the poker players, they soldiered through all through everything. They made their nights every night. So, and they were really good about cleaning up after themselves too. So it was pretty nice to see that. But they were dedicated to their poker nights. So.
Uh-huh. Huh. Interesting. So the library's seeing a bump, and the senior center is having a different experience right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've seen an increase at the library. We've seen an increase, starting to see an increase at the community center.
Mm-hmm. It's busy over there right now. When I was out there in the rain, there's a bunch of people pulling up.
So we're starting to see more activity there. Mm. And what we're starting to see is the new group of seniors don't like to be called seniors or deal with a senior center. That's just the stigma of it. We can literally offer the same class at both locations, and they'll come to the one at the community center before they will the senior center.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. People are so funny.
I mean, it's literally the exact same instructor, the exact same program. We just changed buildings.
Yeah.
Really?
And they come down to the other buildings, yeah. But they won't go to that one. Oh. Okay, whatever. I gave up trying to figure that one out. But like the foot massage. It has more people doing that down here than at the senior center. Hmm. Like, okay. I can't explain it.
No.
But Tom had mentioned that he was starting to see that trend. And yeah, he was right. I've seen proof of it now. So, so questions on senior center? Hearing none, we're going to go to page 11. So this is the start of the capital projects fund for each department. You'll see the community center, it's the very first one. You'll see that's where that $500,000 for the remodel is. That's where that sits in there. You'll see it as revenue previous years. You'll see it as a fund balance, and then you'll see it coming out under Oregon Pandemic Grant Projects line. And we did that separate, so it makes it easier for Mike to report back to the state on what we've done.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
So it's all one clear line. Then, like, you start seeing, like, the Viking South, you'll see that we have 20,000 in CEP projects, but I couldn't tell you what one of those projects are because the seniors haven't told me yet. So we keep leaving money there so that if they need to replace a refrigerator or whatever, they've got funds available to do it. Library, you'll see building projects that was carried over. It's carried over. Timing for painting the interior of the library didn't work out. So we carried it over, and Michelle's got some different ideas for timing of it. Typically, we would, they're closed during festival, and we do it during the festival week. But she wanted to be open during the festival, which I supported. I still support, but that messed up the painting plan. Mm-hmm. So we're going to keep the money in there until we figure out the right, until she tells me when she's ready. So, but that's what that one is. The pool, I'm going to look across the room. You've got anything you want to talk about under pool projects?
So, as you guys know, we've been working on quite a few projects down there, the fencing and all that stuff.
Yeah.
What we have for next fiscal is kind of a lot of that stuff will be finished prior to the opening, so we'll be reflected in the next year's, but we'll still have some equipment purchases. I would like to, we're investigating right now, replacing the tile along the outside, the border. Right now we have the stainless steel there. Which has been a great band-aid. So we are investigating what the proper way to fix that is right now. Mm. Still waiting for some bids to come back, so I honestly don't think it's going to happen this year. If it does, then great. So that's what we rolled over to next year. We'll work some way for next year. As far as CDP projects, there's a couple purchases in there. For next fiscal.
And you'll also see in state revenue sharing, there was a chunk of funding that was dedicated to the pool. They haven't spent it all yet, so the remainder is carrying over into next year as well. Because there's always tons of pool projects. So.
And that's where I was spending that. That's where I'm coding the fence and the berm we built, that, the bigger projects. And hopefully that tile, if we can get some of that. Visit us on that.
Mm-hmm. How long has that stainless steel been there? Like when you say that it's a Band-Aid.
Rick was still here.
Rick was here. Matt welded it. So I would say 12 years?
Yeah. Wow. Solid 10.
Solid 10?
Yeah. Huh. It's been a Band-Aid.
It has been. Yeah, it is. And we've looked into a more cutting in a better, a different gutter style. Uh-huh. Like you would see in a more modern pool.
Yeah.
It was not realistic.
Oh, okay.
So that's what we're looking to go back to, just tile back how it was. Uh-huh. The issue we're having though is in order to, for somebody to fit it correctly, we have to take the stainless steel off.
Oh.
And to do that, we have to cut it off. So it's,
it wasn't meant to come off easy.
It's going to be more of a time and material project, which is for you guys, it's hard for us to do. Because it's hard for me to come to you guys and say, it's going to be between this in this.
Right.
So, still working on that.
Sure. That's interesting. Okay.
So, you got any big projects in the parks maintenance side there, Jeremy?
Well, if you look at the major one to look at would be, well, CEP projects is major. With that $70,000 in capital outlay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that we have earmarked for. That was 2 years ago, I believe. We were scheduled to replace the roof at Dutchfield House. But that was put, a metal roof was put on there, a while back.
Yeah, Doug was there.
Yeah, it's from Doug's here, yeah. So I had a couple of roof contractors come look at it, and they're like, this thing's going to last longer than we need to.
Great.
So we kind of put that, I don't remember how much it was a good chunk of change, set that aside for re-siting.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Dutchfield House. Mm-hmm. So I believe it was 2 years ago, we had one way put a really thick coat of kind of higher end paint on it to hold it together until we can decide exactly the best route on that. Because
I've done that.
it's if you guys look at that, they built that thing right. It's 1 inch by, like, they're like all 1x6s, 1x8s. It's pretty serious lumber for siding. Which is great until you go to replace it.
Right.
And now we have to figure out exactly how to replace that and make everything line back up. So it's going to be a project.
Yeah.
So that's where we have that 70 and possibly some of the CEP projects earmarked for. This is kind of bringing that place back to life. But I'm going to probably, I'm gonna roll over this year, maybe one more, because that paint's holding up.
You either have to replace it all or reach out to someone who does custom woodwork.
Correct.
To create the lumber.
Yeah.
Dimensional lumber the same size.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's still a few places that do it, but not many.
Not many. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So is most of the wood there, is some of the wood still good and you'd just be patching it and then repainting it? Or are you saying all the wood at this point is like getting rotten?
I would say
just curious.
We're getting to a high percentage of rotten.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you could maybe get something custom, but you're still talking about basically redoing the whole siding.
Majority of it, yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe it's something newer but it still looked like gives the same feel as what it was.
Yeah. And with kids down there, you don't want to do metal siding because it's going to get dented with baseballs and I would have done it. My kids would have done it. Sure, we'll do it. So, and, you know, soccer ball, baseball, whatever.
Just look at the doors we just replaced down
right?
there.
Right, yep.
On the inside that were all dented. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and then you don't want to go with like a T111 type, you know, because it's just going to break. Mm-hmm. You know, same thing. Somebody hits it with a fastball, it's done.
Yeah.
So, kind of weighing our options on that. But I would expect to use some of that to clean up some of the offices. The Lions Club office, not office, but Lions Club storage area needs some work. JCA office needs a little bit of work. So some of that money will get spent, but I would anticipate probably seeing that roll over again to next fiscal. Hmm. Some of that.
Any questions?
Are those, is Ophelia's place still over there?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So are those the three that have a spot? Lions, Ophelia's, JCA?
Correct. Yep.
Good. Well, thank you for that info. Mm-hmm.
Okay, unless there's other questions, that's all I've got. Pretty short, no, not short, but pretty
straightforward.
Straightforward, yeah.
No, I'm good.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other business?
I do have other business.
All right.
I'm sure, I don't know, everybody should have gotten this email from the gal about bike racks. And I think that was brought up either in community services or community development a long time ago. And anyway, I just want to make sure that it was read. I read it. Said she sent it to Gary. And so would it come back here? Would it?
Well, the problem you're going to run into is to put them, like, let's say downtown. Downtown's good because you can, you know, the wider sidewalk. Most other places in town, you won't be able to put it on the sidewalk because of ADA. So now you're talking about on private property.
Yep.
I think if we look, and I'd have to dig it up, but the old downtown master plan called for bike racks downtown. So it's still on our radar. It's not okay. Something that's ever gone away. But yeah, it definitely, you know, is something to be looked at. Sure. I mean,
yeah.
We can have Public Works, maybe have Public Works look at coming back and presenting some costs and options on bike racks that we can look at for downtown and or at city-owned properties. I mean,
well, there you go. Maybe even in, like, the parking lots or something like that,
right.
And get a, stay away from the...
Yeah, I think the library still has one over in the parking lot side.
I think they do, too, yeah.
It kind of gets moved around, but...
Yeah, but that maybe this that would make her happy.
Yeah, it's the best... I think it's going to be the best compromise at this point because we can't tell private property owner put bike racks on.
No.
Yeah. And we can't violate ADA, but downtown, our own property, sure. Because, yeah, bike racks aren't that terribly expensive. The Prairie Road aspect of that discussion, though, is a whole nother kettle of fish.
Yeah.
That is not just simple as widening a road to do a bike lane.
No.
That's a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot more to
that's,
it.
I didn't even want to touch that one.
Yeah. But I figured I'd address everything that was in the email because I got it too. So
yeah. Yeah.
Prairie Road on the east side, majority of it does have a bike sidewalk. It's just not a conventional sidewalk. It's offset. It's a little narrower.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's city property, right? Or is it?
What?
Where the side on Pitney?
The where the sidewalk's at, on that there, that on the side he's talking about, that's not city property.
That's
on the property side.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have the right of way, but that piece of sidewalk he's talking about is outside.
Okay.
So, which is why the developer back in the day put that 200-some-odd thousand,
yep,
in the city's account, because the problem is across the road is county.
Exactly.
So trying to coordinate those two was not going to work in any reasonable time frame. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I knew you'd gotten it too, but I just thought I'd bring it up, and then there it is, so that
she knows, and if you want to, you know, look into it, so that she has some sort of an answer.
Would you mind making sure Gary reaches back out to her to let her know that we'll be discussing at a future committee date, and let her know what date that is, that you're all to come talk with the committee?
I think that would make her happy, yeah. Thank you very much on that one.
Yeah, good, and that leads right into the agenda forecaster, so maybe we could pencil that into the agenda forecaster somewhere as well.
Yeah, so let's talk about that for a minute, because this is a combination of both committees' agenda forecaster. So I'd like to, maybe at the next meeting, spend some time with the committee just kind of going through, deciding what needs to stay, what can go, I literally just mashed the two together. I didn't try to clean it up or anything, and there's just a lot of stuff in there that I think could probably come off. Like that.
Yeah.
So, but I tentatively will have for the April 4th agenda the bike rack stuff. Tentatively. At this point.
Yeah. The only thing that I can think of that Andy would beat me up if I didn't say the Welcome to Junction City sign, that continues.
Yeah, and that's on page 2, pending business.
Yes, I have it in red.
Yeah, I made sure to catch that one, because I knew she would call me if I didn't.
Yes.
Yeah, that's where that one went.
And there's the other one.
Give me a quick update. What's that? Is that one talking about the north side of town, or what are we talking about?
Yeah, just updating and doing a new, little more modern sign.
Getting a sign that says...
Development committee has been looking at some options.
Yes.
There was one that was kind of floated to the top. I can't remember which one it was.
I want to say it was similar to Coburn's.
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah.
But yeah. It was starting, you know, they were looking at seeing who owned what property to see where it could be put, and trying to make sure we didn't step on the festival's toes, and all that fun stuff. Because as soon as the festival found out we were looking at those signs, it became very clear, don't touch them. So,
don't touch their signs.
The easy things get very difficult.
It does, yeah.
Which is fine. It's like,
traditional history. You know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, there's projects like that. And then I don't know if it's on here. Now I'm thinking about it. I didn't see the, I may have lost it. But I know it's up here, the downtown lights.
Yes, we talked about it, but I don't think it ever. And I know that 100 years ago, what we talked about is Springfield bought their lights used from a city that replaced them. And so they got a heck of a deal on it. And then we talked about it and then how those things just disappear. And I don't know if that's an option anymore. Well,
the problem, it isn't buying the lights. The lights, that's a flat dollar. It's getting all the power infrastructure to it.
Okay.
That's the problem. That's why solar was looked at to begin with, because you didn't have that extra cost.
Right.
That didn't quite work out so good. So now, going back and looking at that, because the blocks that we've redone the sidewalk, we have underground conduits.
Yeah.
But some of the others, we don't yet.
So that's
kind of that. How do we get that there? Stuff. But I know Gary, we're working on that, but that will end up floating back to this forecaster as well.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good thing.
As well as the Parks Master Plan update.
That was what we were going to add up, That needs to be.
There's a number of things that will need to get addressed through that process, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We need to, you mentioned at the other meeting that we're going to need to combine our purpose statements as well, so that might be something we could look at in one of these next few meetings.
Yeah, the intent is to float that on April as well.
Yeah.
I just, with everything else I had on here, I didn't want to give you guys too much in one night for that first bite.
Mm. Well, that's good. Committee member comments.
And perhaps this has already been done, so I just missed a meeting in the last several years. HB 3115. So that is going to affect the parks, right? Are we familiar with the HB? So House Bill 3115 says that beginning in July of 2023, that you can't move tents out of your parks. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just wondering if that's a discussion we should have here at this committee.
That discussion's been happening at the council level.
Okay, that's what I need.
And legal has some code stuff that we need to, that we, the council needs to look at.
Yeah, I would think.
That's going to be probably this month or next month.
Okay, great.
So, yeah, that's, discussions have been happening, for sure.
Much better than waiting until they fill up with the tents and then we have the discussions.
Right.
Yeah.
Last night, Gary presented new fencing at our shop, so.
You know.
Well, yeah, there are some, well, options out there that we can look at.
How about the 10 acres over off Bailey Lane? Would that be, of course, it's open space, the city owns it. I mean,
yeah, we'll probably be addressing that because that's going to be the location of the water plant.
Okay, right. That's.
So, as part of that, there, we'll address that at that point.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Jim and I were talking about that, and he went, oh, how about that 10 acres? Because I was telling him about the fence over here.
Yeah, there's a few that I'm a little worried about.
Well, they should be. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, the reserve.
Oh, yes.
17 acres?
Yes.
I know the old guy
where you just put
the
that really nice parking pad?
You know the
guy. The guy was across the street, so.
Well, so this is so HB 3115 is part of a much larger discussion. That's great.
Yeah.
I just be updated on it and have a feel for what's going on, as we all do. It can be a pretty heavy hit, you know, if we're not prepared for that. And then just kind of a by the by, one of the things I hear from people all the time, can we get a dog park? And so I know we have some acreage now floating around. We're talking about the reserve. We talked about that earlier today, you know. And so if we could just fence off an acre or something that we could use as a dog park, I think that would be very well received.
Yep.
People would really love that. And I know I would walk my dog all the way over there, even though she leaves marks on me, which means it's time to play. And then the last thing is just the pool. I love all the upgrades that you're doing and the updates, but some of the folks, especially, you know, when you have grandkids and you're running around in that, the world of small kids, if we can extend the hours, I know there's issues related to that, you know, but if we can maybe get it open on Sunday evenings. I don't think it was last summer. I think we...
Sundays are set aside for rentals.
Yeah, but we could probably...
And I would like to revisit that as a whole. I like the concept of that, but it could use some tweaking.
Yeah, okay, well, that's...
Well, we don't have to get the whole day.
All we can ask for. Right. Some, if you look at it, I'm happy. You know, that's great.
Right.
That's all we can ask for.
Maybe we do the late morning, early afternoon block for rentals and then have a family swim in the evening.
Yeah.
Yeah, even if it's just a few hours,
You
know, to open it up. Because people do walk by there and see if it's not rented out, then the pool is just sitting there.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's how it's perceived, you know. So that's all I have.
Are those some things that as a committee would like to get onto the agenda forecaster so we're sure they're revisited at some point? I know the one thing is on a committee somewhere or at the council level, but do we want to get the actual rental?
I got it added.
Yeah.
And then was there a third thing?
Just the dog park.
Oh, yeah, the dog park.
For us, that could just be some fencing at this point, if we have the acreage.
Yeah, probably what I'll do is have Public Works come up with some options for the committee to look at.
Yeah.
Look at options. There are some stipulations with dog parks that I'm just learning that are fairly surprising.
There's another thing that's easy, but
not surprise me.
Yeah.
I'm sure insurance companies would have a field day.
Insurance
would have a field day.
And I'm hearing they have to be drain tiled back to sewer system.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Say that again.
They have to. Has to be tied to a sewer system in some way. From what I understand, I'm still looking into it.
Okay.
So. Yeah,
quote
me on this stuff.
Sure.
A bunch of dogs out there peeing on the grass. It's got it. They don't want that into the storm drain. They want that into the sewer.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, it makes for a good discussion anyway.
Yeah.
At least, if we can't do it, then I would understand
I'll
That's been on
the facts.
Well, I mean, they've talked about that for years.
And I mean, this is exactly how we're invited to do it, bring things up, decide as a committee if we want to get them onto a forecaster. I mean, it doesn't always mean we'll be able to get to it immediately, but then staff has time to prepare, you know how it goes.
Maybe.
But I think that's a good thing to get on.
First step is to come back to the committee with, here's the rules behind it all. Kind of start there, maybe.
The rules and possibly like a handful of locations that would work.
Yeah. We start the conversation that way and then see where it goes.
Yeah. Sure.
And maybe it might be something we start with a smaller footprint to start with.
Yeah, and there might be great reasons why we can't do it, but it's nice to know those. So
yeah, and people are really, they understand. If they see why not, that's like, well, okay.
Yeah. But if you look at the last time we did the Parks Master Plan, Dog Park just barely missed a cut.
Yeah.
And it's grown in popularity since then, so... Yeah. You know, I think it's worth spending the time to see what it would take.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Councilor Leach?
I'm good. I'm happy with all the things that have been suggested. I'm that's what this is for, and the combination, it works. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm tickled.
I'd just like to make a couple comments then. I think momentum is a beautiful thing, and I think that these committees in the past have actually, in the last year or two, they've actually accomplished several things. A lot of times, I have the impression that it would be good to somehow get that information out in a consistent way. I get the feeling people don't expect things to change overnight, but if they see change happening gradually, they get excited about it, and then the momentum builds. So, and I, because we come to this meeting or other meetings, we see these things happening all the time, but there's thousands of people in town who don't see it happening, or they don't know that it's happening. They never drive down Oakley and see the new park. And then later, 2 or 3, 4 months later, somebody mentions it, or they happen to be out in that. That's just one example, but street light, street sign, I mean, there's 100 things that you guys are doing all the time, but I don't feel like besides the kind of untouched inserts in the billing, we all have talked about how those are very informative, but Gary always says he doesn't think people read them very much. So, and I know this has been discussed before, I just want to mention at this first meeting, because the community development is really something that will grow with momentum. This is kind of the committee that has the opportunity to really embrace the momentum of the community as things change and improve. But I'd like to revisit that communication ideas that we've had in the past, and in particular, revisit the way to get it out into what I think is our town's really our new newspaper is the Community Connections on Facebook. Those have replaced the printed newspaper. I mean, we actually don't have a printed newspaper anymore. It's not, at least I haven't seen it at Safeway for several months. But there are thousands of eyes going to those pages pretty regularly, and I'd like to figure out a way to get our city's governmental news into that forum, and not because somebody highlights something in particular, but like a consistent overview, so that word gets out. And I know you guys have had lots of ideas of that in the past, and I know it's on one of the goals that is somewhere in the committees, but I think that'd be really powerful to highlight that new park or to highlight the new reader board and get it in front of 5,000 people and let them see that there's something happening besides the things that people are complaining about. So I think this is a great combined committee that falls right in line with what we're doing, and I'd like to get that somewhere in our forecaster so we could... any comments or thoughts about that? In we're supposed to kind of have a consensus before it jumps on the forecaster if we bring it up in a committee. So I'm not saying that has to go there, but if you guys are all right with that, then
yeah,
it's fine.
communication is always the key to success, and it's always difficult to find ways, you know.
Yeah. And then the newspaper used to be that, you know. I remember thousands of us would read the little 16 or 24.
Years ago.
And now it's almost disappeared, and a lot of this stuff.
It's in probate right now. So yeah, they're done. Being done.
Yeah.
The owner passed away, so it's locked up in probate until that gets resolved.
Yeah. But even then, it was down to 8 pages, you know. So I don't know if the new person will bring more energy, hope. I mean, I don't know, but... Either way, the newspaper seems to be going this way and the online seems to be going that way. So it'd be nice to get the good city news into that online place somehow.
Well, I'll tell you what, the reader board is sure nice.
It is nice, isn't it?
It's all kinds of information on there.
That's a great example of,
You just have to be a little careful with the social media engagements and First Amendment rights and stuff like that. So it's a little trickier.
Right.
It's not just like going into Community Connections and posting whatever. Because now any comments made on that post, we're stuck with.
Yeah.
We can't.
Yes.
You know, like someone could go and make a racist comment. And now we're stuck holding the bag because it was on our post.
Can you have, on Facebook, can you have just a city thing?
Yeah, there's other options where you can do things that are static, where it's not allowed for public comment.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, you can post up, it's readable, it's shareable, but there's no comments.
Yeah.
And that's it. I won't go into the technical behind it, but yeah, there is options that way.
I wonder if you could discuss with those other pages, admins, making some kind of deal where your city posts, well, sure, I mean, we could discuss it with them. I mean, Facebook does allow you to turn off comments on certain posts.
But then now that opens them up.
Right.
Well, we're just saying, hey, we can't have comments on our posts.
If I'm directed to do so, I'll do it, but I don't. We've talked to these things legal, and they're not in favor of going that route. What they would prefer to see, because then you have not only First Amendment stuff, then you got records retention. It applies to digital media. And now that's under control of someone else. But if you talk to legal, what they recommend is setting up your own Facebook page that doesn't allow commenting and run things through there. People can share it to like Community Connections, and that's fine, and that's not on us.
Yeah.
But if our original post is within Community Connections, we have to archive that. From a record retention standpoint.
Yeah. Well, that would be a solution.
Yeah, yeah, to me, the other one is right where we have our own. We stay in control of it, and it can be shared. People can share and do whatever else they need to do or they feel they need to do from there.
Yeah.
It kind of falls into the branding discussion that we had off and on.
Right.
That ultimately, at the end of the day, I like bringing someone who's an expert at that from the digital side and help us refigure, get a better handle on our digital profile. Yeah. I think that's right. That understands all the what's its and who's nots and things of that nature that help us come with a unified approach.
Mm-hmm.
That meets all the corners of what we gotta do.
Right.
And that, in the long run, makes more sense than trying to, because eventually we're gonna get bit, and I don't want to.
Well, I'd like to have that discussion again at some point if the committee's favorable to it, and just kind of hash those things out and understand them better. Because I feel like in certain ways we're getting bit for the lack of it. Because we got a powerhouse city here that is not getting the positive information. They're getting a lot of negative information, but there's a lot of positive going on too. And so, it's a big can of worms, I get that, but thank you. Those were my comments tonight, and appreciate everybody being here and spending this hour, so hope you all have a good night, and we'll adjourn at 7:35.
Recording stopped.